The Rancor's Brothel presents a Dungeons & Dragons adventure. Nev Thelian.
Current start date?
It is December 16th.
Year.
1463.
Oh, that's right. I think I wrote that down. Probably my notes. Oh, that's right. My notes.
Okay.
It's December 16th?
Thought I was missing something.
Yeah. December 16th. Took you a little more than a month to get up here.
Right. Okay. World question. Mm-hmm. Do the solstices work the same way?
I hadn't decided otherwise, so yes.
Okay. Just curious. It's really close to the.
No one cares about your Wiccan religion, Jeff.
I was thinking about The Hobbit.
The key that only works during the solstice. Well, I guess technically it's not the solstice.
You actually already got the door open and just tumbled inside.
Well, we have a tin man wedged in the door at the moment. I just slipped through.
Yep.
We'd be really interested to see if it, like, irises shut and cuts Craig in half.
I've been holding this thing open for a month now. It's starting to wear into my hands.
Where's your movable rod, Cody?
You know?
I thought about it. I did think about it.
No, at this point, Alec is holding open the door through brute strength.
Rook.
Sorry. Rook. I got fooled by the Darkwood last name for a second. And I'm like, that's...
I'm going to let you go first. You want to sneak in there? You go right ahead.
Yeah, I made the roll to slip through the door.
All right.
I want to try and see if there is any kind of a mechanism on the other side that'll release it.
All right. Yeah, so you tumble through the door, look up, and in the little shafts of sunlight streaming through the gap that Rook is holding open, you see written in Elvish up in the marble, "Welcome to Nev Thelian." And... beyond that is a long corridor of darkness. You have dark vision?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yeah, a little help here would be nice.
I attempt to wedge my quarterstaff in it.
Snap.
All right, there you are, Jeff. You have a curving corridor in front of you, and with your dark vision, you're able to make out something that you realize are... one after another, tons of arrow slits all along the way.
So for the audience who can't see this yet, although I like that you posted the map today. That was kind of fun.
Yeah.
This is clearly like Murder Hole Alley, so mm-hmm. that someone breaking in could be shot at from
There's probably eight or nine
different positions. Yeah. So.
Yeah, I see like nine pointing at me right now.
God, I hope they're automatic.
How's your agility score?
We'll see.
Duck, dip, dive, dodge.
Can I see anything in here to release the door?
No, the only thing you see other than the wall is a skeleton that's just sort of laying in the middle of this corridor.
Which is also...
riddled with arrows?
Yes, actually.
Yes?
Well, actually... there's probably a couple arrow heads. The rest of the arrow would have long rotted away.
Okay.
Can I get a quick refresher on each of your character names? Oh.
Okay. I was going to point out that they're up there, but you probably can't read them.
I can't read them from here.
He's Alec. I'm Kellen.
Kellen. Ilara.
And he's Inari. Sweet Tits. Inari.
Nerop.
Right.
I can never remember your character's name.
Inari.
Even when you do remember it, you say it wrong, so... Sweet Tits works.
Please no.
Okay. What about Hot Lips?
Nope. We'll
get a little mashup in here.
It would be a mashup.
Suicide is painless.
That depends on how you do it.
It brings on many changes, Dave.
You do not see any mechanisms in the hallway. It's okay. Just smooth marble except for those arrow slits.
Okay, is... the-
so
okay.
The question is whether or not you want to venture down the hall without your companions.
Not yet. maybe here in a minute. Is the door that he's holding actively trying to shut itself?
Yes.
Okay, can I know disabled device isn't a thing anymore, but can I thieves tools the door and try and disable it?
You take a look at the gaps of the door as it's being sort of held open. And it is probably one of the most intricate doors, not even necessarily intricate, just well made. You can't see any mechanisms. They must all be hidden back within it.
You know, I've got a wand of secrets in my pocket. And I think I recall you might too.
I do.
Well, just point of order to be the idea guy on your shoulder. If this is... This is clearly
Well, you're also right there. You can have ideas.
Right, no. Well, I didn't know if I saw the arrow slits or not. But, like, if this is a defended position, you wouldn't have the control to hold that door open right there.
Yeah.
It's going to be probably wherever those arrow slits are. So, if we're going in, we probably better just go in and then hope we can open it up on the back side.
Like, it is unlocked. It's just currently resisting being open.
So I'm going to turn back to Alec and Kellen and say, you know, in this bag I've got here, I've got some 10-foot ladders and a crowbar. Like, something would be great. Some kind of assistance.
I don't really work with my hands. I pull the crowbar out of his bag and just start, like, banging at the joints of it.
Or at least just put it in the iris so I can let go for a minute.
Is it irising or is it like Star Trek doors?
Yeah, these are like the door was sort of like spiraling in on one point.
Okay.
It's James Bonding.
Sort of, kind of. Yeah, so it's like four sections that are now being pushed back.
Gotcha.
Because I don't know how long I can keep this up.
Mm-hmm. Make a strength check.
Unless you want to throw me a die. I didn't bring dice tonight. I have apps for that.
Why are you taking all the fun out of this?
I thought I had something.
That's why you don't take the apps out of it.
Nat 20.
There you go.
Okay, I can do this all day.
You're like, I've got muscles made out of like metal and wood, and not like I'm fine.
You've got a piston for an arm. You can just hold this open all day.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing that she hasn't died immediately, I will step through past...
Okay. Are you wedging the thing in, or are you just going in?
I mean, I'll try. He described it. I don't think it's going to work if he's working that hard, but I will try and wedge a crowbar into it if you think it'll help. I put it wherever he tells me to put it.
Okay. It doesn't require any particular skill. You just put it there. Are you letting it go to like rest on the bar, then?
When we're ready to, do you guys want to get through first, or I don't know if it closes enough to wedge on the crowbar, will there be enough space for us to get through?
Well, if it's irising, we can put it up.
Probably
at the
not
angle.
For the two of you.
Yeah, that was my thought.
I click my flying boots and I like just dive through.
There you go. Superman, okay. You with
yeah.
Me.
Y'all are in. I'm going to go back and start a shield emporium now.
Claw probably jumps through.
Sure.
Unless you want him to stay out.
See, the dick move there would have been not to remind you that you had Claw.
You just hear a scratching at the door.
Oh, no.
Well, you're going to die out there, buddy.
You can't use your class feature because I'm a dick.
There's nothing wrong with making somebody's class and race features obsolete by being a dick.
Yeah, now, there is.
Do we make a Futurama episode about a mechanical dog waiting 1,000 years outside this door?
Yep.
Well.
Well, no, as we're moving in, it's gauging the angles of what we can and can't see.
Yeah.
So that's why it's opening up, because we're standing at different points.
That's pretty nice to have the automatic instead of you having to try and calculate that.
I mean, ideally, like, you're all on separate PCs and you can only see what you can see.
Right.
But I have you all on one thing because...
Yeah. I'll say to everyone else what I am naming the Dragon's Lair, which is what I've named this recording studio. It's got a long and storied history involving me going to Hobby Lobby and buying a sign that says Welcome to the Dragon's Lair and putting it up. Neat. We put up a 40-inch TV. So that's what we're all staring at as opposed to a monitor.
What's the icon next to the dog?
Alfred!
That would be Alfred, yeah.
Oh, that's right.
I have a familiar too, but he hasn't really come out yet.
Okay. let me know when it does.
Is it a trouser snake?
I was thinking the same exact thing.
our arrow slits.
He's very familiar with it.
How big are those arrow slits?
Average.
So I can send Alfred through them?
I mean, owls are quite thin with a lot of puffy feathers on top. So, possibly?
Alfred may not fit through, but my spider will.
I seem to remember that the opening of an arrow slit is about 3 inches wide, so an owl could probably fit through, yes.
I mean, unless he wants to send his spider in, I'll just send Alfred in there and just fly around so that I can see what's in there.
Okay. Rook, are you attempting to get through this now? Like, holding with both arms and then, like, putting one leg through at a time? And...
I guess.
I mean, yeah, it
seems all on me.
You could still have Kellen put the crowbar in after you get through.
I put it wherever you wanted it.
All right, yeah, let's attempt it.
He's not going to cut you in half. At worst, you're going to lose an arm.
No, this isn't the Mandalorian trailer.
Wait, well, what am I rolling anyway?
You're not rolling anything. You can just do that.
Oh, okay.
It's good, fantastic. Because that was a single digit from over here.
Which is 45% of the digits, but, you know. Okay, you hop on through, and then you want to send Alfred through?
Yeah, just to, because I can see through his eyes. We're not that far away, so okay. I just want to see what's on the other side.
Alfred is through, and...
Is that double layer arrow slits?
Yeah. Alfred sees that this is like a whole little, like, almost...
The hallway used.
Peninsula sort of thing that sticks out into a, like, a U-shaped hallway, and... That there are arrow slits all along both sides, so that they basically have a kill corridor set
right
up.
They're forcing you down and around the U while they can stand in the center and fire arrows in all directions.
Precisely. Yep. You see a table sitting over there. It looks like it's probably in very bad condition, but still there for now. Over here is a well in the center of the room with a couple chairs that are knocked down, another broken table next to it. There's a table in the back that is still whole with chairs around it, but there is a skeleton that is splayed out on top of it. And then to the right of the well, which is easterly, the further inward, there is a large winch up against the wall next to just a bench.
I not E.
Yes. A winch, as in one which would move a gate. It is large and has
strength.
Large and has steel chains wrapped around it.
Okay.
Do I notice anything particular about the corpse that is bizarrely and almost ritualistically splayed on that table?
If Alfred flies over, Alfred finds the rusted remains of a dagger in between its ribs.
Okay. Is it possible to tell what the winch does? Does it go down the well? Does it go up into the ceiling?
The chains go up into the ceiling.
Okay, so it probably controls something else.
The gate?
Maybe. I mean, that would be a guess.
Alfred has a strength of one, however, so cannot really experiment.
I relay to you all what I'm seeing through Alfred's eyes.
Sure. And then there's a door that is open at the back of that room. Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look like no one's here, so no one can take an attack position against us. I mean, I guess we can look for traps moving forward. But I mean, I don't see that there's any reason why we just can't walk around the U. It doesn't look dangerous.
Yeah.
So, if we want to, we can leave the crowbar here, leave the door partially open, and I can ritual cast Alarm. So for the next 8 hours, I would know if anybody else passed through there.
Mm, yeah.
Or I can bring the crowbar along with us and shut the door behind us.
I mean, if it's holding it open, I kind of like it being open as opposed to closed.
Well, let's get around there and we'll check out that winch and see if...
Find out if it actually...
We'll be able to hear if the crowbar drops.
Yeah.
Fair. Yeah. Should we establish a marching order? We haven't really done this yet.
We did. A little bit.
Well, I mean, like, legitimate dungeon crawl, like... Who is the person that's going to fall on the trap? That's what we need to decide first.
I have, on a good day, a max AC of 23 or 24.
Not it.
That sounded like a volunteer to me.
Yeah.
Well, we also could put someone in front who might be able to see said trap. Like, I will accept either answer.
Again, well, not it.
The dog can go. The dog has dark vision and cannot be surprised. So
he howls as he falls down the trap. I was not surprised by this. Pit Trap just tosses
I figured
it
this was coming.
I saw it a mile away.
I'm doing this on my own free will. I'm happy to send the... What did I name the dog?
Claw.
Claw.
It's been a month since we played. I'm happy to send Claw, you know, keep 20 feet in front of us.
My perception's a 2, so I'm not going to detect traps.
Well, if we're actively looking for traps, can we roll investigation, or is that still perception?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going to plus 4.
Yeah, I've got a 4. That's it.
Sounds like I'm in the back.
Okay, so you've got Rook up front, presumably Kel in the back. We'll have Claw by Rook.
I'll be right behind Rook.
Okay. Does that look about right?
Yeah, sounds good.
Yep. Sure.
Alec and Inari in the middle. All right. Are you marching around that U-shaped bend of the hallway then?
Yes.
All right. Just move you on moss.
Can you detect magic?
I do not have detect magic.
Okay. So you have detect magic, I have detect magic. I know you have some stuff, but you don't have detect magic or anything, do you?
Well, and you guys can cast it as a ritual without burning spell slots. Or at least I know Cody can. I don't know if Troy can.
Oh, quick question. Do you want to spend the 10 minutes to cast Alarm?
Yeah, as a ritual wouldn't hurt. If whether we leave it open or shut, either way.
I think I can. I think... Let me read. I think...
I don't remember if clerics have ritual casting or not.
I mean, if you want ritual cast detect magic, why ritual cast alarm?
I mean, it only lasts for 10 minutes. I don't know if
it takes 10 minutes to cast.
No. Well, it also says duration is up to 10 minutes.
For alarm?
No, for detect magic.
Oh, yes. Right. That is true.
I don't necessarily want to burn it right now, I guess. But I guess if you're going to sit in ritual anyway, I guess I could sit in ritual as well. So, sure.
You did have it going before you... came in, but it's been a few minutes since then, so.
Did I?
I seem to think you did.
FYI.
I remember using Knock and Mage Armor. That's the only thing I remember using so far.
Okay.
Claw has a passive perception of 10.
Okay.
Just heads up.
But he cannot be surprised.
That's right. I didn't see you, but I'm not surprised by you.
Can we tell, is the only light coming in from here from the opening in the iris? Like, if this thing closes, are we going to go into darkness?
Yes.
Okay.
And you can see on the map because you're all under the same player. But Rook does not have dark vision, right?
No, but I'll go ahead and pull out a drift globe after I finish this ritual.
Okay, sure. And that has, is that 30 feet or 60 feet?
I'd have to look it up.
Drift.
Yeah, you can probably look up faster than I can.
Well, it's not in the Rule 20 SRD, so to try the harder way.
Didn't I have something like perpetual flame?
Continual flame?
Yeah, we talked about that last time.
Oh, yeah, you did talk about casting Continual Flame on a torch.
Yeah, which is stowed
or
in...
Or on anything small you could put in a pocket or something like that.
Yeah, yeah, and we put it in the bag of holding.
You could also cast Light on his shield or something if he's going to move forward, if you're that kind of cleric.
I do. Well, that's the other thing is like...
Did we do that in one of our games?
I think technically I have it prepared.
Cast on the shield and act like we were trained?
Yeah, we did that in Strahd.
Okay.
Light is a cantrip, so if you have it, you have it.
So interesting... The drift globe actually, you cause it to cast the light or daylight spell.
You can make
it. Yeah, so it's basically like casting light.
Yeah,
but it casts it on itself rather than on you.
We'll have it do daylight, which is 60 feet bright light, another 60 feet dim light.
Well, daylight is a spell that you can only use once. It doesn't last for a long time.
Okay, so drift globe you can use. Daylight once per day on it, and light you can use.
It's a cantrip. That's infinitely.
Yeah. Well, we'll keep it just at light then, which is 20 feet bright and 20 feet dim.
Oh, daylight lasts for 1 hour.
Okay.
So I was wrong on that.
Light also lasts for 1 hour.
Except that light you can do infinitely.
So. Right. So we'll do light, which is 20 and 20.
20 and 20. Okay.
His teachers have said he's doing a thing now. He's beginning to identify like. The concepts of like first person, second person, and third person, he's starting to get that a little bit.
And you know what?
He's been
would make more sense. I realize that sucks because you just put it on me, but yeah. We'll actually have it. Here's the Drift Global will follow Claw, not me.
Okay. Sure.
It floats, right? Just attach it to his leash.
Right.
That way, when he plummets, we can see the little balloon floating after him.
Well, he already has dark vision, right?
He has dark vision.
Which is 60?
Yes.
Okay.
I guess, yeah, I guess it does make sense just to leave it on me then.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're the motherfucker who can't see.
Yeah. Anyway. I figured having the light in front of us, though, would...
You know what's ironic? Have you seen the new Blair Witch video game that just came out?
No.
So you're running around the woods in the dark, right, with a flashlight and all kinds of scary shit's coming at you because it's based on the Blair Witch. There is a dog with you. And basically, because people get lost in this video game a lot, the dog just helps you progress the story. And the dog has a glow-in-the-dark collar. So the thing is when you get all backed up and confused and your flashlight's not working and stuff, like, it barks and it always gives you, like, a little map ping, like, this is where your next objective is. And it, like, finds med kits and stuff for you. It's a really, really neat mechanic.
Huh.
For when you're totally screwed up, here's your one little light in the dark.
Right, yeah, yeah. So you see that glowing light and you're just like, ah! Which, it's interesting because you play a soldier who seems to have, like, PTSD or something. So, like, it's your service dog. Like, so you're connected to him anyway. It's a really cool concept. I watched somebody play a little bit of it last night.
So back in this hallway, as you come around the bend, you see that there is yet another wall filled with arrow slits, facing you. So that once you get around that first corner, they could be hitting you from both sides this whole hallway down.
So basically their entire army sits in this hallway until they actually need to be used outside.
It is their choke point.
Motherfucking spawn campers.
This is well designed, and we're in the kill zone. I am uncomfortable.
I'll send Alfred into that area as well, just to look at it.
Okay. I pull him over.
I gotta come up with spider names.
Alfred is never gonna get old.
As Alfred flies through an arrow slit, he sees another couple skeletons that are just laying on the marble floor here. One of them literally has his chin resting in the arrow slit. And there's probably the owl, like, ends up sitting on that skull and pecking down at it. There's an arrowhead resting in the eye socket.
Jeff. Webster.
Webster's pretty good. I like Webster. So for the audience, like he said, it's on both sides. You're definitely seeing, you would be murder hold, for sure. Like pincushion murder hold.
Let's go ahead and send Claw forward.
Okay, I'm feeling really stupid because that went right over my head.
For your spider.
Webster.
Okay.
I didn't get it either.
Jeez, are we fucking Matt show up for a second?
Well, we sat around and waited for my pizza tonight.
Well, that's true.
That is true.
That's true.
Alfred goes a little...
You should have paid the extra money.
Wait, for what?
There was a time it asked...
The priority service.
Yeah, there was a priority service fee. We just sat down, and Matt was like, I'm going to order pizza. So he orders pizza, and we just started recording. And it's like, they want to pay a $2 fucking charge for priority service. I'm not going to pay $2 priority service. And then Matt gets, like, we start recording, and then, like, 10 seconds into it, Matt's like, 45 fucking minutes for pizza?
No, it was 80.
I think it was 80 minutes, yeah.
he was like, next time I'm going to pay the $2 fucking dollars, you ass.
Yeah, but it's like the fast pass at the amusement parks, though. But then when everybody buys the fast pass, you're still waiting
in line.
No one
has the fast pass.
Yes,
yeah. It just means they make $2 extra for pizza.
Yeah, yeah. So going around the corner of that room, that second room, Alfred sees not only a broken table, but also the door to this room where all these arrow slits are actually broken down and splintered.
Broken into the room, it looks like?
Yep.
Which makes sense.
As if it got battered down.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a question. That skull that's sitting on the arrow slit?
Yeah.
Which way is the arrow fired from?
From in the hallway.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's like someone got up to the arrow slit and fired point blank in there.
Yeah. That's I didn't know if these guys got ambushed from behind or...
He's close enough. I want to walk over there and look at that skull. I mean, it's only 3 inches, but I can see it if I walk up to it, right?
Yeah, sure. If you want to walk over to it.
I don't know. I guess really I don't have anything applicable to this, but can we tell, is this a gnoll-made arrowhead? Is this a, you know what I mean? Like, is there any sort of distinguishing characteristics from what we've seen so far?
Okay, so you're specifically looking at the arrowhead and trying to gain some sort of, like, historical information about it?
Yes.
Is roll it? History!
No. Mad at that.
I was going to say, you guys are the history ones this time.
That's right.
I would also accept Smith's tools.
19 on history.
Okay. It is crudely made. very badly rusted iron, and doesn't seem to have any particularly good workmanship to it.
So it's tooled, but it's mundane and for function, not for...
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about the skull itself? Can we tell?
Tell what?
What it is.
It's like humanoid
Like a difference between a human and an elf or anything like that. I don't know.
You could roll medicine.
Probably not.
I'll roll medicine and look at it.
Sure. I'll gather around the one
I got
else
a
lit.
9.
25.
You're like, I don't know, it looks humanoid. And Alex says, oh, that's definitely an elf.
You can tell by the pointed ears.
I will pick up the
He's
skull.
Like, no, you idiot. There's jaw line differences and stuff.
I'll pick up the skull and carefully look at it and then crush it in my hands.
Okay.
Just toss the pieces aside.
You realize you just ruined his map, right? Now that skull is there. Dave's going to have to go into Photoshop.
Totally inaccurate.
Okay. You want to move on then?
Yes. Just keep moving down Murder Alley, right?
Yeah. Okay. Does Alfred come back to you?
Yeah.
Okay.
But let's send Claw 20, 30 feet ahead of us.
Okay. Down the corridor a bit, you see it curve again to the right, back in towards like the main easterly direction that you came in.
So we're just slaloming here around murder holes and stuff.
Yep. So you're on like the backside of that U that you came in, moving forward through the double row of arrow slits. You see a darkened patch on the floor that looks like there was some kind of explosion out there eons ago with a headless skeleton. And another one that is up against the wall and has several bones dislocated from it and just sort of scattered around nearby.
But these are still humanoids, right?
Yes.
Okay. It's not like one of these suddenly is an 8-foot tall corpse or anything.
Correct.
Okay.
And then coming out of that bend where the arrow slits suddenly stop, you see yourself looking at a wide plaza of smooth marble, except for, you know, another couple patches of explosion darkening. Still a couple skeletons around. And then there's a large stone railing that overlooks something that you can't see from here, and the beginnings of an arcing stone bridge. Off to your right, actually assuming you come out of the hallway there. Directly to your left is another battered down door that leads into a room that Alfred could see from the first area.
Yeah.
Where the winch was. And to your right is a long wall with the battered down door that leads into that second area.
And that's a slip and slide or a railing or a...
Which?
The gray bits.
The big stone bridge.
Oh, so that's the bridge.
That is the stone bridge that arcs out over something.
Although it being dark. A giant slip and slide down into the city would be awesome.
Yeah, there's just a nice solid stone railing, no holes in the banister or anything. Solid stone up to a little more than waist height.
His waist or my waist?
Like 4 feet tall.
Okay.
I will proceed.
How taller are you than me?
You're a gnome. You're like 2.5 feet.
I am slightly taller than that. Not much.
Probably about 3 feet taller.
I gave myself the exact same specifications as my son because I thought that would be fun.
Yeah.
And he's tall for his age, so I'm a tall gnome.
Made this a few months ago.
Far off to the right, there is another broken table in the corner, and then just a solid stone wall that is mostly unworked. It's just there. And that looks like the edge of... It almost looks more like a cavern wall, as also off to the left. Also is like an unworked stone wall.
Jeff, you're an elf, right?
Off above you.
You're an
half elf.
Half elf. That's right. Okay.
Yeah, so the ceiling also now is soaring away from you in a curving arc that leads somewhere off into the darkness.
Does it look decorative from what little we can see?
The ceiling?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It looks cavernous.
Okay.
I'm going to go ahead and proceed right on through that door to the left to go check out this, what was it, the
winch?
Sure. So you walk in over the battered door, which has, like, steel studs on it, and was banded. Probably, you know, took a battering ram or something similarly heavy to knock it down. There's a couple tumble-down chairs, a desk in here. And then there's the door through to where the winch is. Are you going straight through?
I'm going straight to the winch. I don't care about anything in there.
Okay. Is there a a rock or a pebble or something laying around? I mean, I'm sure there's something.
Absolutely.
Are you still standing around, Troy?
Yeah.
Alec, give me a light, and I hold out the pebble towards you.
You want, like...
Like your cantrip, so I don't have to waste a torch?
Yeah, I don't have it prepared, so I don't actually have light.
You don't have light?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, can I light a torch then?
No, I have the torch in the... In the bag.
You're not going to be very happy with what I do with this torch in about 10 seconds, so...
Oh, okay.
I'm going to light a torch. And then when it becomes narratively appropriate, I'm going to throw it off the side because I want to see how far down this goes.
Sure. So while Rook goes back in through the room there, you toddle up to the edge and you can't see over the edge because the
Oh, it's a solid railing?
It's a solid stone railing.
I click my boots and I fly up 4 feet so I can see over the railing and drop my torch.
All right. There you go. It falls and keeps falling for maybe a couple seconds. It hits stone and seems to light up a bunch of oddly shaped, like from the shadows. It's hard to tell exactly what shape it is. Just, you know, stone down there.
Sure.
And if you had to guess, it's probably somewhere between 75, 100 feet down. It's a good fall.
Okay. I'm going to assume that I'm not getting that torch back, so I'm going to mark it.
Make a perception check.
Okay.
But yes, do that.
I mean, you have flying boots. That'd be for 4 hours.
That'd be a 4.
Okay.
Don't fall over the edge. Edge, edge, edge.
It does echo quite a bit.
Well, now they all know we're here. Here, here, here.
All right, Rook, what are you doing?
I'm going to cast Minor Illusion so a voice comes back. Yes, we do.
Do.
Jeff and his goddamn Minor Illusions.
I'm going to crank that winch and see if I can hear a crowbar drop.
Okay. Make an athletics roll because this winch is obviously meant to be operated by two people.
Landed in the crack. I should probably keep my character sheet up for rolls like this.
That would be useful.
Is athletics... yeah.
It's strength-based.
13.
Okay. You're able to get it going, but after a certain point, the resistance builds up and you're not able to get it all the way. But you do hear the grinding of stone off towards where the main gate is.
A little help over here, please?
Yeah, I'll come in and help.
Okay. The two of you together don't have any particular difficulty, and you hear... more grinding of stone, and then a sudden, and you do hear the clank of a crowbar falling.
I think that gives us our answer.
Yep. Close it for now?
I think so.
Yeah.
We'll let it close up.
Okay, so you pull the winch back the other direction.
Yep.
Once you get it past a certain point, it just sort of starts moving by itself. You can break it if you want, otherwise you can just let it spin by itself, and it closes shut.
Okay.
With another big boom that echoes through the whole cavern.
They definitely know we're here.
I'm going to, I don't know how much more time you want to spend, but I'm going to make my way back to go retrieve the crowbar and then rejoin the group.
Okay, sure.
I want to take a look down that well.
Okay.
How far down does that go?
Let's see how well you look. You do have dark vision.
Yes.
It extends past your dark vision.
Okay. So, I'll drop a pebble down there.
Sure.
You hear drum beats in the distance and fire.
It's probably a good 30 seconds before you hear anything.
Oh, wow.
It's deep.
Yeah, that is deep. Okay.
I go up and push her.
Jeff does not have flying boots.
See how your boots of Winterland work now.
It's the perfect prank.
I'm so warm.
Really, it's like I'm wearing a Snuggie all the time.
I'll check out the skeletons in here. Just there's not anything besides a rusted dagger laying around or anything, is there?
There does not seem to be, no. There's another skeleton on the other side of the winch that's sort of sitting with its back to the wall with its knees pulled up in front of it. Mm-hmm. Seems to have died that way, but you're not really able to tell how.
Okay. I will head back out with the rest of everybody else.
There was nothing in this first... area, was there like just some stuff that I assume is in front of the door?
There's a desk.
There looked to be a book on the table on the desk.
I will check that out on the way back out.
Okay. There appears to be like the very moldered remains of a map sitting on the desk.
Okay.
But it is next to illegible. You can see some lines, but you can't make out any of the words. At best, you can kind of make out the vague shape of the coastline, but you're not really able to make out any detail of anything else. There are a couple drawers on the desk.
Okay. Even somebody with proficiency in cartographer's tools and things like that can't make anything out?
Make a roll with them. That'd be intelligence-based.
It's only a 13.
Did you add your proficiency?
I did.
Yeah, that's enough to help you make out that coastline, perhaps a river. Maybe enough to give you the scale, but not much beyond that.
But do I recognize it as the coastline that we just came off of?
Mm-hmm, this coastline, yeah.
Okay.
Of Sayula, the whole region.
Okay, I'll check out the rest of the desk.
Okay. At the first drawer is empty. The second one is kind of broken and also looks charred, as if there was something burning here at some point. And there's a burnt logbook that appears to be there. As you open it up, like the first 200 pages all just fall into ash and dust in your hands. The very end of it is still legible with a little burnt off edge at the bottom.
I love it when he pulls out handouts.
If you want me to tell you sometime, I can show you how to burn those in a way that makes them still legible.
That was more work than I wanted to put in. Plus, I can't totally control it, and I like totally controlling it.
Last of L-N-I-C-U?
Eleniku.
Eleniku.
It sounds Elvish, but it's not on the calendar you know.
It's not on the calendar I know. Two male gnolls in from Shineforge. Masons repair for chamber tiling. One female half-elf in from Orante Pilar. A rancher seeking buyer for cattle. Three humans, two male, one female. Two female half-elves, one male dwarf. Coming in from Duskwater, merchants selling trade goods. 51 elves. Galarin's patrol. In from the Norna Hills. They report that the area is quiet and that the Ettins seem to have retreated further north. First of Hrive?
Yeah, Hrive.
Four male dragonborn in from Duivrad. I need to learn these names. Knights, diplomatic envoys. One female tiefling, supposedly from somewhere called the Spawnlands, mercenary, looking for work, questioned by Captain Nivethiel, who found her. Two male dwarves from a village named Kazarda, west of Nilvoro Ridge, travelers on their way to Duskwater. Second of Rive, two male Goliaths tried telling us they were from Stonegate and that they were here to buy food for their tribe. Captain asked them why they'd come all the way here from Stonegate, and they got belligerent. Captain called for a cleric to question them, but they just attacked. Turned out they were bugbears, polymorphed, probably spies from the Manasse, Nortova, Citadel of Horrors. Three Ganassi. One male, two female, from Shineforge, gem merchants here for trade. Three female elves from Valakor, pilgrims here to do... This is where it starts burning up. Research on something they call the Kassarian Heresy. What was the name
of it? Kassaranian Heresy.
Kassaranian Heresy. That's...
Heresy!
That's fairly obscured at the bottom, but I'm pretty sure that's what that says.
Was there a note in the margins?
Was there?
Looked like there was.
Remember to give Thesriel his key back.
This morphs into Warhammer 40K. I'm going to be impressed.
So I pulled up the map so you can see some of those places that were mentioned.
Orante Pilar was mentioned.
Yep, that's like the whole plain that's west of the forest where Nephthalion is. The Nilvora Ridge is this spine of mountains right there. Shineforge is in that ridge of mountains.
Yep.
Kazarda is a dwarvish city up there, west of the mountains, closer to the ocean on the west side of the continent. The Manasse Nortova, as you know, is way up north in the Arctic regions of the continent. The Norna Hills are also further up the coast, northeast of Nephthalion, into closer to permafrost territory.
And that was where the patrol was from, right? Norna Hills?
Yes, that's where it had come back from.
Okay.
And there be Ettins up that way.
What is an Ettin?
Two-headed giant.
Pretty dumb, pretty mean.
Twice as dumb.
And twice as mean?
Yeah, they still only have two arms and two legs, so...
And sometimes they disagree about how to use them.
While he's looking at that, I just wanted to look to the south. It looked like there might have been something to look at over there.
Sure. So at the southern end of that whole plaza, balcony,
yeah,
whatever you want to call it, there's the broken down door to that area where the arrow slits are. There's a couple skeletons in there next to a large scorch mark that seems to emanate out from where that door was. And then over in the corner, there's a completely broken table and chairs that have been blasted to shit.
Go ahead.
No, just to say, there's nothing there that looks interesting.
Unless you want to look at the two skeletons.
Sure, I'll go ahead and poke my head into that area too.
I was going to ask, do all of these skeletons look humanoid?
Yes. Make a medicine roll for me, Kellen.
Okay. 14 medicine.
Okay. You're not entirely sure. One of them is definitely humanoid, probably another elf. The other one, you're not able to pinpoint exactly what kind of creature it is, but it had a snout.
Okay. I got my first non-elf corpse over here.
I'll come check it out.
I can have it walk over to you if you prefer.
No, it's fine. Don't want to, you know, burn your spells. 23.
Okay.
I'm not using them to find traps.
You've never done an autopsy of one, so you can't be 100% sure, but you are strongly leaning towards the fact that this is probably a gnoll skeleton.
What do I know of gnolls? Because I don't know anything about them.
That would be a history check.
Hey, what do you know about gnolls?
Who has the best history check?
Mine's a plus one, so I'm not going to...
Mine's a plus five.
Have a...
Mine is...
I think Jeff's is also a plus five.
Mine is a plus seven, 22.
Never mind.
Okay. And since Kellen is at least prodding your memory, you get advantage.
Oh.
Using the aid action.
22.
Hey, what do you know about... What do you know about gnolls? Hey, gnolls. Like that one, gnolls.
They are predominantly nomadic. If they have any sort of permanent settlements, you haven't really heard of them. Doesn't mean they don't exist, but not typical. Usually wander around in bands of usually no more than a couple hundred. More than that, and they tend to start doing too much infighting and sort of split up into smaller bands again. Mm-hmm. It does occasionally happen for things that would, like, threaten everybody, you know, like, the enemy of my enemy is my friend for now. So occasionally they'll band together for some big threat, or occasionally for some big religious event.
Are they orc-like?
They're jackals.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. They are known to have shamans and to have fairly ritualistic religious practices.
Okay, this is not something that maybe Inari would know, but... Like the religion of the gnolls, is that similar to Forgotten Realms where they worship a demon lord?
Make a religion check.
Huh. Hey Jeff, help me make a religion check.
What's the cleric's religion check?
I think I have a better religion check.
Probably.
So mine's 8.
Yeah, I'll start discussing things with Kelly.
Okay.
That's a nat 20, so that's 28.
Okay.
You see, it all started with the two hierarchies of gnoll religions. Biffer and Bopper.
Inari would have assumed that, yeah, it's all about, I think Yinogu is the name?
Yinogu, yeah.
You
guys didn't get to that one out of the abyss.
But
yet.
Kellen has, for some reason, delved a little deeper into that little corner of lore and knows that while, yes, that's probably the dominant group, there are splinter groups that worship other gods, and those splinter groups often depend on where they are geographically, and maybe they'll tend to hew to gods more worshipped in those areas. Up this far north, it tends to be Yunogu.
Okay.
Yunogu.
Yunogu. You stay.
No.
That's called insensitivity, because I made fun of their god.
Heresy.
Heresy intensifies.
Okay. Anything down around that table or anything like that?
No, it's just very old moldering wood.
Cool.
And it just goes into like a stone wall?
Yep. That it looks to be the edge of the cavern that then arcs up.
Was there anything of note in the room adjacent there?
You can step inside, see another broken table. Off to the left is where that skeleton had its chin resting in the arrow slit. And the rest of this room appears to be mostly empty. You can see a whole bunch of scattered arrowheads in here. Some of them in groups, like they were probably actually all, you know, stacked up together, bundled up. But the arrows have rotted away, and now it's just a stack of arrowheads.
Okay. You don't have any use for all these arrowheads, do you?
There's a few beat up swords in here as well. They're all rusted over or bent or...
I discarded. Don't think so, not in this condition.
Okay.
I mean, if you want them, we can toss them in the bag of holding.
I don't care. You're the smith. I just wondered.
Rusted old arrowheads? No.
I'll ask Alec because he's standing there. Is my torch still on fire down there? I kind of point over the wall.
I'm not standing there. Okay. I'm in the room.
I'll ask someone else
If you just look out the wall, like look out the door, excuse me, you can still see a vague glow on the side of the cat.
Okay.
Hasn't got it out yet.
My perception check was for the shadows that are moving from that torchlight. I failed.
Okay. Is there anything else you want to look at up here?
Shall we go down?
I would go across.
Does the bridge go down or just across?
The bridge arcs out into the darkness.
The darkness.
Wait, that's a cantrip, right?
What, darkness? No, that's a third level spell.
Yeah.
Nerd joke.
I'll push dancing lights across the bridge.
Damn it. No, I say that because...
dancing lights this whole time? Yeah. You're bitching about a torch?
I say that because the last time I ran this, someone had dancing lights. And it's such a bitch and pain to move all those four lights, like, frequently. Ugh. And I actually had them on this map from that last time, and I deleted them. So, fuck you.
Could you do them as, like, one as a group of one, unless you want them to split?
It depends on how much I want to piss Dave off, but yeah.
It's still fairly early in this campaign. Let's build up to that.
There are four lights.
All right, what's the range on those?
On the light or on the
yeah,
spell?
Yeah, like how far out do dancing lights cast light?
Oh, I think it's 10 each.
You combine the lights into one glowing, vaguely humanoid form.
Oh, you can?
Each light sheds dim light in a 10-foot radius.
Oh, 10-foot. Okay. That's a lot less than I thought.
So if you combine them, then it's 40.
It doesn't say anything about that, but...
Okay, you get deeply unsexy circles that say lant because I use them for lanterns.
Lean forward, Cody.
If you right-click and drag, yeah.
So yeah, I just want to push him 60 feet across the bridge.
How do you select multiple, or can I?
Click and drag, although...
You have to make them textures you can use.
Yep, just give me a second.
Light is much better than...
There you go.
Well, sure. But you had freaking dancing lights that you could twirl down the bottom if you wanted to.
You have to push them down, like, slowly. The torch is going to fall.
I suggest zooming out a bit, too.
And as usual, we'll send the dog forward.
Do we need Craig to do the map since I keep moving in and out of your way? It's just good mind presence, Jeff.
Oh, it's dim light in a 10-foot radius.
Yes.
As a bonus action, you can move lights up to 60 feet within range. Range is 120 feet, so they can't go more than 120 feet away from Kellen.
Correct.
I feel like if they all bundled together, they'd shed bright light in that
it
radius,
it says you
right?
can make them look like a glowing medium human, which I've never done before, but now want to utilize somehow.
You can if you want to.
Just you ever see Cocoon, asshole?
That didn't seem to work. I'm changing it so you only get dim light. I'm not going to give you full light.
It's fair.
Well, then at least spread them out so we can get...
Also, this is telling me that last time this got ran, someone lied to me and they were way more powerful than they should have been.
I mean, it's a cantrip, so...
Was it Lucas? I bet it was Lucas.
No, it wasn't. All right, so you've got your dancing lights. You're sending Claw ahead. Is he going onto the bridge?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Up to where the lights are, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you want to get back into your marching order?
I'd like to point out that bridge looks kind of cracked.
That's why we sent the dog ahead.
before the metal man that weighs 900 pounds.
There do seem to be some stress points and cracks on the bridge. However, from the side, when you're looking at the bridge, it looks like it's very thick.
Okay. I'll head out onto the bridge.
Okay, you're going first then?
Yeah.
Okay, who's following?
I'll follow.
I guess I'll take up the rear on this.
All right, I'll start walking.
All right. As you move out onto the bridge, those of you with good enough dark vision begin to see towards the end as it arcs a good, it's a good 100-foot long bridge that arcs over this deep drop of a chasm that's, you know, about 100 feet deep. Mm-hmm. The torch is still guttering down there. Why don't y'all go ahead and make another perception check?
This is called foreshadowing.
Because there are four of you. And there are shadows.
There are four lights.
Yes, it's all four.
I don't think Dave's a Star Trek guy. Actually, no, Dave's not a Star Trek guy.
20.
Okay.
9.
11.
And Rook?
The dog makes a 12. I'm looking okay. I'm looking for mine.
Well, Kellen, you look over the rail and you're like, well, torch is still going. And about the same for Alec. We'll know in a second what Rook sees. Inari looks over.
15.
Okay. Yeah, it also just looks like a guttering torch to you with weird shadows from probably cave-like protrusions. When Inari looks over, she sees, yes, there's probably some stalagmites and stuff down there, so on. But you also notice that occasionally you're getting the weird little glint of metal. And you think that there are also spikes down there.
Oh. I thought you were going to say there were bits of metal moving.
Oh, no.
Okay.
No. So it looks like there are stalagmites, and then they're like, there are not enough spikes. We need actual metal spikes.
Yeah.
Mechanical question. Can you ever roll an active perception check lower than your passive perception?
Yes.
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 Okay.
Yep.
You're supposed to be watching, but you are distracted.
Fair.
Those lights are really cool. Speaking of, can I push them all the way across the bridge now?
Sure.
Since I've stepped onto it.
At the end of the bridge, where that arcs down, especially as you keep moving over the bridge, you see what look like a couple of towers.
Two towers, you said.
Yes, in fact. Two towers, they're each only a single-story high. They do have ramparts at the top, and they are overlooking this bridge. They're sitting on what appears to be like a big column of ragged-edged stone that juts up from the floor of the cavern.
I'll swing the lights left and right just to kind of like dance above one of the ramparts and then dance above the other just to see if there's any... I imagine everybody's dead, but if not, we're going to get shot from up there, so I'd like to see him if I can.
Okay. You swing the lights overhead. You see a couple of wooden floors as the top level. There's a couple old skeletons up there. You see a few more arrowheads sitting on the wood. And there is, on both towers, there's a hatch with a ladder that leads down into the tower.
Does it seem like you get into these towers from this bridge level, or is it something that you would get to from a different lower level?
You can just vaguely make out a doorway to one of the towers.
I'll keep moving up.
Yeah.
You can go and move Claw all the way up between those two.
Sure. So you see, and if how far is Claw going?
30 feet out from us.
Okay. Yeah, you see the doorway, and if you move a little further, you see the doorway to the both towers. Another skeleton sitting there on top of the stone pillar that's coming up. And then there is another bridge that arcs off further into the darkness. Same sort as this one.
How tall did you say the towers were?
Just a single story.
No. I'll go in and check out the one above. On the
northern one?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll look in the other.
The one that Inari looks into has a knocked over chair and a skeleton in it, along with a ladder that goes upwards towards the hatch, towards the top where the rampart is. There's also a ladder that goes down. And you look down through this hole, and you see that this ladder goes further than your dark vision.
Huh.
Can I push my lights over there towards the other bridge?
Sure. And in the other room, Rook finds, like, fully a half dozen skeletons splayed out in the room with yet another ladder leading up to the top. This one does not have a ladder leading down, though. It's just the one going up to the rampart.
This is to clean out the pit down there.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah, I bet. Yeah, I'll does the ladder look sturdy?
Yeah, it's actually like metal rungs that are like welded in.
Cool. I'll run down there.
Okay. You spend probably a good minute or so climbing down. Eventually, you reach the bottom where there is a large stone door with a bar on the inside. This one is like solid steel or iron and doesn't look as decayed as some of the other stuff. And it's just set in there, held nice and closed, and okay. locked.
Any kind of a viewing port or anything through the door?
Nope.
No?
There's a torch sconce next to the door, but that's about it.
Okay. I know this goes out on that pit floor. Can I get it open?
Yeah. You want to... So you pick up the heavy metal bar and just sort of set it down on the floor.
Uh-huh.
Push open the door, and there's a little clearing right in front of the door. And then immediately past that is row upon row of metal spikes mixed with stalagmites.
Okay.
Each of which are about 5 foot tall.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Jesus Christ. I'm going to murder some motherfuckers.
Hey, well, when you got Goliath near, you need some tall spikes.
Apparently so. God dang.
Okay. I don't see any signs of anything out here.
You see a bunch of skeletons impaled on these spikes.
Oh.
Of varying sizes. Some of them are on the large side.
Hey, Alec, come down here and look.
You hear an echoing call from way down below.
I'll go down and look at some skeletons.
So you also spend the minute clambering down the ladder. And is that why you called him?
Yeah.
14.
Okay. One of these...
I'll aid.
Okay, go ahead.
16.
All right, one of the skeletons you're immediately able to mark out as an Etin. Double heads right there. Easy to spot. There's also a couple larger ones that might be an ogre, might be a troll, something in that family. Otherwise, it seems to be mostly humanoid skeletons.
Huh.
Make a perception check.
Nat 20.
Off in the distance, it's way back in the spikes, and you'd have to spend some long minutes carefully getting back there if you were to look up close. But you could swear that there's a centaur skeleton back there, too.
That's kind of neat.
Nice.
I'll relay all this information.
Yeah, flying boots, man. You can go look.
That's true, too.
If I wanted to waste it, gosh.
You know, it's really unfortunate.
You can use it in minute increments.
Animate dead specifies medium. Otherwise, I'm coming down there and I'm getting me a new friend.
Well, aren't there more powerful versions of it?
Or I don't know. I'd have to look. If there are, let me know because I will get them. So it looks like this is sort of a stopping point across this chasm, and there's a bridge going elsewhere?
There's a bridge that moves on further, yes. So I assume you two climb back up the ladder.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you rebar the door?
Yes.
Okay.
I will have grabbed a few bones from the pile. Ones that might look fun for Claw to chew on.
Okay.
I can't bring them back if you move those around.
There's plenty more.
You can bring the rest back.
Okay. Are you moving?
They're less effective.
Are you moving the lanterns forward? Not the lanterns, the dancing lights forward again?
Yeah.
Okay. How far?
Well, on our screen, it looks like that bridge is broken, but...
Well, you could move over a bit.
Jeffafa.
Holy shit, how big is this cavern?
Was there...
This is just the entry.
I know.
This is the foyer.
This foyer is like the size of the mall in Washington.
So did you guys see everything there was to see downstairs?
As much as we could without wading through the sea of bones, yeah.
Okay.
I am interested in the centaur skeleton.
So up ahead where the bridge looks busted, does that appear to be natural decay from what we can tell? Does it appear to be...
This bridge, like the other one, is thick and solid. It's only still standing because of how sturdy it is. But these are some rather huge chunks that have been knocked out of it. And you don't think that that was natural. Like, the only natural thing that could probably cause that in this cavern would be, like, a stalactite falling.
Fair enough.
Are there signs of what did it? Was it an impact that did it, or was it magic?
It'd be hard to tell, probably. Okay. Is Claw leading the charge here?
What?
Absolutely.
Okay. What I would be worried about in this case is, if I had set this up, I might set these bridges to collapse.
Okay. As you get up to this narrower part of the bridge where there's a big chunk knocked out of it, Claw and whoever is going to be following will need to make an acrobatics check.
Our title track, They Left Me In Here, was composed by Daniel Rann as part of the Beyond Skyrim Bruma original soundtrack and is being utilized under Creative Commons 4 Attribution Sharealike license. Enjoy what you heard? Check us out online at rancorsbrothel.com and the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Be sure to like, subscribe, and share this show with your friends. Want to chat? Follow us on Twitter at rancors_brothel or by emailing therancorsbrothel@gmail.com. To interact with other fans, check out the Fans of the Rancor's Brothel Facebook page. Most of all, keep circulating the tapes. Much love, everybody.